Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. Chris, how are we doing on this Memorial Day weekend? The unofficial start of summer, although it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it at all, but I'm great. I think we are now, if we're not under triple digits until days remaining until kickoff, we're real close.
I believe we are, because I thought I saw a couple of those articles, you know, the 100 days to kickoff, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think we're under 100 now.
So the countdown has begun, but instead of looking forward, Chris, on this show, we're looking back. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about this, first of all, because it's unbelievable. We're in the year 2025, which means we are a quarter of the way through this century. For old guys like me, year 2000 feels like it was last week. And it's really been 25 years. And to commemorate that, a quarter century of Penn State football, you and the guys over at For the Bloggy have put together an all quarter century team. I'll let you tell our listeners more about it, how you came up with this idea, what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah. So it's probably a lot of folks listening know what the program I'm on with Mike the Mailman and Kevin Horn and Brandon Noble, the obligatory PSU pregame show, moved over to YouTube on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel a couple of years ago. And it's been great. Great. It's really worked out well for everyone. And so we had the idea that we could put together something fun to entertain Penn State fans in the off season. And with all of us, as you said, being 25 years into this century, we thought, well, let's look back on the first 25 years of the 21st century for the Nittany Lions. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're recording this just before the first episode's going to drop on Tuesday, May the 27th. We are releasing the obligatory Penn State quarter century team, the best Nittany Lions of the last 25 years of Penn State football. And so that's going to be on For the Bloggy's YouTube channel. The episodes are going to come out weekly. The first episode is going to feature Kevin and me breaking down the second team defense. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And the way we came to it is we created a panel of voters that represented a cross-section of perspectives on Penn State football. We had our cast members, of course, and the staff at FTB. We had some of our sponsors who are big Penn State football fans, members of the media. You were one of our voters, Jim. We're going to talk about your ballot today. We had some volunteers with the Penn State Alumni Association who have been involved with Penn State stuff for decades, as well as some super fans, just to give us the perspective of the people. And I'm really pleased with the list we came up with. There were some tough decisions, and we'll get into that, some of the positions of strength for sure. But when I look at the team we're going to be unveiling over the next 4 weeks, I think in almost every case we got it right. There were certainly going to be some spots, especially when you're talking about a second team where you pick two starters and two reserves. That last spot in some cases is going to be contentious, but I don't think anyone who knows their stuff can look at the whole roster and find a single guy that they say he doesn't belong.
As you mentioned, I was honored to have a vote in this. And as you said, we'll talk about my vote a little bit. We're not going to steal the thunder of the show. We're not going to release any of that information. But in going through it, Chris, did you find that you personally, and you could also tell by the voting of your panel, certain positions were just almost impossible to differentiate one from two from three?
No question. It really gave you the opportunity to appreciate how blessed we have been to watch a lot of talented football players put on the blue and white over this time period. There were some position groups where, especially at the top, it was something of a runaway. Probably people can guess a few of them just off the top of their head. And other ones were just absolutely brutal. I mean, really, even though it's been a little bit of a pain point for the program over the last few years, wide receiver was very challenging. D Defensive tackle was tough. Linebacker was brutal. When you got into the safety group, there were many, many guys who merited consideration. And it was just fun. It was fun to be able to look back over different eras of the program and say, man, that guy was good. Or, oh, I forgot about him. It really, it just revealed to me, and I hope the audience has as much fun with it as we did, and I heard this echoed time and again from our voters, that it was just great to take that walk down memory lane.
And you know what, Chris, with some of these positions, obviously it's going to create some debate among folks, this guy over that guy, but I almost feel like it was less debate and more everyone could recognize the challenge. You know, how do you choose between these two guys? What is your criteria? You know, is it, I'm going to talk a little bit about the quarterback position because that's fun, always fun to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, is it strictly about numbers? Is it how much you win? Now, I think at the quarterback position, winning or not winning carries more weight than, say, wide receiver, where you maybe are looking more at raw numbers, or maybe running back is a more obvious one to do that. Did you personally, in your vote, how did you balance your criteria for making your choices?
That's a great question. And before I answer it, I would be remiss if I don't take the opportunity to thank the folks who made all this possible, who allow me to be here talking to you today. You'll see when the episodes start premiering on For the Bloggies channel, we filmed all of them at the Anti-Fragile Brewery on 324 East Calder in downtown State College. Super cool spot, unbelievable cheesesteaks, really, really good beer. So appreciate the folks at Anti-Fragile, and especially appreciate the team at the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest. Jim, this is a weekend you got to come back to Happy Valley. This is the second year this festival's coming back to Penn State on July 19th. And last year they had it inside Beaver Stadium, which was really cool. Now this year that's not going to be possible with all the construction going on in the stadium. But from my perspective, as an avid Penn Stater, a Happy Valley resident, a lover of great beer, and a member of the Mount Nittany Conservancy Board, you're going to get the best of all worlds because it's going to be right outside Beaver Stadium. So you're right there in the shadow of the cathedral, and you can kind of check out the work that's being done. You're adjacent to Medlar Field, our great baseball field. And most importantly, as you're up here enjoying Happy Valley, enjoying awesome beer from over 75 breweries, a lot of them right here from the Commonwealth, you got an unobstructed view to Old Mount Nittany. So that is really the way to tie at least half a one on at Penn State. So that's a Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest, July 19th. Come on up and see us. It's hoppyvalleybrewersfest.com to get your tickets. You'll hear me mention it a few times today.
You do realize you had me at beer.
Very good. Very good. There's nothing wrong with being a cheap date.
Yeah. And, you know, when you earlier threw in cheesesteak, that was just, you know, now it's over the top. Beer and cheesesteak.
Friday night, make it a weekend, come into town, go to Anti-Fragile, have a cheesesteak and a few beers with me, Horn, and Mike the Mailman. Noble's not going to be there. He's over in Copenhagen coaching the Nordic Storm, who are undefeated as we're recording this right now. So I hope they keep it rolling. And then go to the Brewers Fest. But to go back to your question about criteria, intentionally, Jim, we left it relatively wide open because we didn't want to narrow down for folks. We had a lot of people vote, and we didn't want to narrow down the way people approach the exercise of choosing their best Nittany Lions. So we really only gave people two firm directives. One was that players are eligible to be considered at the position they played last at Penn State. So if you moved around, you know, you were a classic example, you're an offensive guard, and then you moved to center, and that was the last position you played, you're in with the center group. And then the only other thing we told people was judge guys on their collegiate careers, not what they did in the NFL, which is a Penn State team. We're interested in what they did at Penn State. Other than that, it was wide open. So the criteria I employed, certainly you look at numbers, because you're looking for the best of the best, and stats do often tell the tale. And then beyond that, I just thought about my memories of how important a guy was to the teams he played on and to the program overall. And again, I think people are going to see as we roll these teams out, there are many, many players where you say, oh yeah, that guy was a monster. I loved watching him play, but also, boy, he was so important to Penn State. Penn State football is different and better because that guy came here.
It reminds me of, I don't know who I was listening to, talking about Hall of Fame voting in baseball. And their response is, if you don't just know it, then they're not a Hall of Famer. If you have to debate it, they're not a Hall of Famer. And when you talk about, you know, the value of a player, some of them you just hear a name and instantly you know with their contribution. I'll cherry pick a little bit with the positions, and we'll get into these a little bit more. But like Larry Johnson and what he did in that 1 year, forget the career numbers, just that 1 year alone, what was it, 2002?
Mm-hmm.
Was so special, it just sticks out.
And they're different styles of players, different types of careers. There are guys who just had such superlative single seasons that it's difficult to keep them off the list. And ones who played multiple seasons and compiled numbers and made contributions to great teams. That's what makes all of this fun. I'm really looking forward to, well, knock on wood, digging into the comment section on these. Like those might be, you're talking about the first 25 years of the 21st century. I'm really looking forward to the comment section, might be the most famous last words of this era. But I do think it's going to be fun to get in there and interact with people, because there's one thing I love, Jim, and you know this too, because you get to talk to your audience. It's great when you just get to get together with fellow Penn Staters and you start talking Penn State football, because it's a common language that you can all share, and you can go back and share nostalgia for these past eras and also appreciate, I mean, hey, we are coming into a season with a bunch of guys on the current roster who are going to be part of this conversation for like best Nittany Lions of, you know, 25 years from now.
And what's funny is one of my questions I have is, how many players do you think are on this current team that if this vote were taken next year, it might be very different? All right, Chris, that's it for quarter number one. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit closer position by position. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the obligatory and for the bloggy group put together an all quarter century team. We're a quarter of the way through the 21st century, which still boggles my mind, Chris. And that is going to be released, that information, over the next couple weeks. And thanks to a couple of great sponsors that you have, why don't you just remind our listeners who are the people who are supporting this show?
For sure. I appreciate that. Thanks to John and Paolo and the whole team over at Antifragile Brewing Company. Check them out at antifragilebrew.com. You can get all the information there. Really one of the coolest spots in downtown State College. It's been a real great addition to the downtown scene here in Happy Valley. And the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest, which is coming back to Penn State on July 19th. You can get tickets at hoppyvalleybrewersfest.com. And there are designated driver tickets available. You can get a real good deal if you want to be the DD. really, but it's on campus. There are a lot of walkable options. It's going to be great. Kevin and I went together last year and we had a blast. We have such a great history, Jim, with beer here in the Valley. Penn Staters understand that intuitively. But I don't think a lot of people realize that the Center Daily Times, which is our local newspaper, was the first daily newspaper in America to publish a weekly beer column. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so, you know, newspapers all over the country had a wine column, right? This was something the New York Times does, and a lot of papers followed suit. Nobody wrote about beer. The CDT was the very first. If you're interested in reading all those collected columns, you can get them off the Nittany Valley Press page at nittany.org from the Mount Nittany Conservancy. I'm getting all kinds of plugs here. But ultimately, Hockey Valley Brewers Fest is the one I want you to remember. Come up and enjoy great craft beer and some exclusive pours from over 75 breweries right here in the Nittany Valley. So get your tickets and come hang out with us. And unfortunately, Mike the Mailman's going to be there, but you can still talk to me.
Well, State College is such a cool place to hang out during the summer. You and I have talked about that before.
It really is.
You and I have shared a beer downtown in the summer. It's just a great time to be there. All right, we're talking about this all century team that you put together. We are not going to release any information, but we're going to talk about some of the positions and some of the players involved and who my choices were. Chris, you were very helpful for those of us who are voting. You put out the obligatory all-century team cheat sheet, which was wonderful. It listed the top players, gave us some of their statistics, and it really helped in putting together our decisions. But I wanted to let's talk about the quarterback position. I'm just going to read off very quickly
Sure. The
list of names that are on your cheat sheet. And it's Zach Mills, Michael Robinson, Darryl Clark, Matt McGloin, Christian Hackenberg, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, and our current quarterback, Drew Aller. An interesting list, and out of that list, we had to pick two of the quarterbacks. And, you know, this is one of those positions, Chris, where I do think winning means something.
Yeah, no question. In general, you talked about that. I think, just looking at the way people voted, I think, you know, there's obviously a relationship between the best teams having the best players. I do think people gravitated toward winners overall. But, yeah, we talk about this position in terms of wins and losses in a way we don't any other position on the football field.
And, well, I'll give my choices here. I took Trace McSorley and Darryl Clark.
Yeah.
And they won a lot of games, Chris. I think that's, you know, part of the answer. But it also, and I think this came up on the show a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it was with you or with Andy. Maybe it was with Andy and Ask Andy segment where somebody asked about players who were underrated or overlooked in Penn State history. And my mind instantly went to two names that are on this list, Michael Robinson and Darryl Clark.
How about it? Yeah, Darryl Clark especially, I think, gets underappreciated. And I think it's just because, time passes on, right? And that dude won a Big Ten championship, won a lot of football games, to back-to-back 11-win seasons. But a few years later, you end up having the scandal, and then, you know, coming out on the other side of that, McSorley's great career, and then all the hype around Drew Aller is the number one quarterback recruit, which we don't get at Penn State very often. And, I think as I look at it and I see the way the votes come in, again, no spoilers, but I am guessing your audience is savvy enough to probably guess who ended up as the first team quarterback. There were two guys that people gravitated towards, but then a smattering of votes for a number of different players. And it's funny, as you rattled off that list, Jim, I thought, I could say something nice about every single one of those guys. So why don't I do that right now?
Go for it.
Because you can only have two, right? And, always, quarterback has not been the position where you think of Penn State being the strongest. We've had a lot of quarterbacks people love. But in terms of sending guys to the NFL and playing at that level, Penn State doesn't have a great track record. I mean, look, one of the best college football programs in the country is Ohio State, though I'm sorry to admit it. And their track record at quarterback in the pros is abysmal. So it's more than that. It's like, what do they do in college? And so I look at all of these guys, and to start with Zach Mills, a kid who really had to go through it in terms of the protection he got and the weapons available to him over the course of his career, fighting through some injuries. That dude was just a warrior. And what he did as a freshman, stepping in the 2001 season and rescuing that team that legitimately looked, Jim, like they could finish the season with a goose egg in the win column. And instead, yeah, he got them to within a win of bowl eligibility and upset Ohio State to give Joe his 324th career win to surpass Bear Bryant. I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Zach Mills. You mentioned Michael Robinson, the best leader I have ever seen wear the blue and white. It's him and Mike Mowdy in terms of best leaders. What he did that 2005 season was just remarkable. One of the all-time great Nittany Lions. And Clark is one of my favorite players. Just a dynamo, offensive dual threat guy, another great leader, another Big Ten champion, just like M-Rob. Christian Hackenberg, probably one of the most important recruits in Penn State history. And when you talk about somebody sticking through a lot of abuse, that dude, I just this offseason, Jim, read Men in White, the book about the 2012 through 2016 Nittany Lions, which I can give an uncompensated plug for. Really great, great book. If you're a Penn State football fan, go out and pick up a copy and read it this summer. You'll really enjoy it. It gives you great insight into just how committed Christian Hackenberg was to Penn State. And I can say the same thing about Matt McGloin. You know, you're great leaders. Right, finish unheralded as a recruit. Not a single Division I offer. Not one. And his senior year, he left Penn State as our all-time single-season passing leader. Now, he's not that anymore, but he was at the time and led that Iron Lions team. Absolutely great. To Trace McSorley, I probably don't need to say too much about that guy because his reputation speaks for itself. And then Drew Aller, I think, going back to the criteria that we gave people, we did not tell anyone, don't vote for current players. And again, I'm not going to reveal who made the team and who didn't. Current players got votes. I will tell you, I did not vote for any current players, even though, and I guess we'll probably get into this a little bit later on, there are guys on this team who are going to be in these conversations. But I felt like if you still had football left to play, it was almost unfair for me to throw you into the mix with guys who we have the benefit of perspective on their full careers. So I didn't vote for any current players, but I do expect, pending the outcome of 2025, that Drew will be a player who will be part of the conversation of the best at his position. And if you remember, Jim, going all the way back to last offseason, you asked me if I thought that would be the case, and I said no. So now I've moved on that, definitely.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And Drew Aller, he could really define his career, his legacy at Penn State with a big year. And for him, it has zero to do – well, I shouldn't say zero, but very little to do with numbers. It's going to be about wins. Can he win a Big Ten championship? Could he win a national championship? Could he even get it to a national championship game? Which would mean he would have to shed that can't win the big game moniker that he carries along with James Franklin.
And, well, and can he stay focused and make plays in the so-called trap games on the schedule as well? It's going to be an opportunity for him to put together a complete body of work that at its end could establish a legacy for Drew Aller as one of the very best to play the position in the history of the program.
And Chris, he's got the supporting cast around him.
Yes. There's,
you know, plenty of these quarterbacks we could talk about, you know, the offensive line wasn't there or the receivers weren't there or just not enough help around them. Not going to be the case for Drew Aller this year. And I know we're supposed to be looking back, but I can't help myself, Chris. But both he and James Franklin, they're attached at the hip this season. For both of them, it's a defining year.
I will bring everything back to our guy, Darryl Clark. Not since the Darryl Clark team of 2008 has a Penn State starting quarterback had as complete a supporting cast as Drew Aller will this season.
That is exactly it. All right, Chris, we're running up against the clock here in quarter number one. When we come back, we'll take a look at a couple more positions. I'm real curious. Some of these are just incredible. There's an incredible list of players at some positions. I want to talk to you about those, and we're going to do that as soon as we come back. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He's Chris Buchanani. We are talking about the all-quarter century team for Penn State. A lot of fun. We talked about quarterbacks through segment number two. Just my one final thought on quarterbacks, Chris. I've said it multiple times on this show. I love Michael Robinson and Darryl Clark. Just, I do.
Likewise.
Tremendous. I think the guy I always compare with Michael Robinson or Michael Robinson to is Jalen Hurts. I like
that comparison.
They're big, strong, physical guys with a huge heart, and they're both willing to will their team to victory. That's the way I always felt about Michael Robinson. With Michael Robinson, I say, absolutely throw out the numbers. Don't care. But that's the guy you want on your team when the game's on the line. You and I are both Eagles fans. I love Jalen Hurts as a college player. You know, when he played for teams I don't give a damn about. I don't care about Alabama. I don't care about Oklahoma. I love Jalen Hurts in college. I actually was one of the few people who loved when he was drafted by the Eagles. And I think I bring that up because I could pat myself on the back. See, he won a Super Bowl for them. So Michael Robinson, Jalen Hurts, that's the comparison I'll make. Let's shift to another position. Another lot of fun at running back, Chris. And I already made mention of Larry Johnson's name and how special that 2002 season was. But let me just go through this list of names that you have on your cheat sheet for running backs. Eric McCoo, Larry Johnson, Tony Hunt, Rodney Kinlaw, Evan Royster, Zach Swinnick, Bill Belton, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Journey Brown, love Journey Brown, Nick Singleton, and Catron Allen. Crazy good list there, Chris.
Here's the craziest part of that whole list to me, Jim. You listed off three names who, if things go as we hope they will this fall, might be 1, 2, and 3 on the all-time rushing list at Penn State, and that's Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, and Evan Royster. Right now, Evan Royster's on top. By the time we get to the end of this season, he might be number 3.
Which is amazing. And you allowed us to pick 4 running backs, which I really appreciated that it wasn't just 2.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, it would have been brutal.
And Evan Royster, all-time career rushing leader. I put down 4 names. I did not include Evan Royster.
Yeah, why don't you give the listeners your 4 running backs for the obligatory Penn State quarter century team?
All right. I had Saquon Barkley, who I think was just so special. And I know, you know, NFL careers don't play into this, but I think we saw this last season. Until this past year with the Eagles, he never had a good offensive line. And I think if you're a fan of Saquon Barkley, you just, my God, what if they had a good offensive line? This past season with the Eagles, Chris, all of us who said, oh my goodness, what if, Chris? All of those us who were tortured because he went to the Giants and that abysmal offensive line, we can now say, see? I told you so, Chris.
Yeah. I know we're not revealing who's on the team. This is not any kind of a spoiler. Okay, Saquon Barkley made the team. All right, everybody. So I can talk about this.
He's
so,
one of the top 4. Is what
yes. Saquon Barkley is one of the top 4 running backs of the last 25 years at Penn State. So we all these shows are in the can. They're being edited as we speak, and so but we filmed them all. And at Antifragile, and last week we were doing some of the offense, and I was doing that with Landon Tengwall. And when Saquon comes up, Tengwall says, is he the greatest running back in Penn State history? And, you know, I, of course, Jim, taking a long view, immediately grimaced, and he was like, all right, Bucanani, like, who else? And, you know, I talked about going all the way back to Lenny Moore and Lydell Mitchell. And then, of course, Kurt Warner and Kajana Carter. There were a lot of other names that deserve to be in the mix for the best to ever do it at the tailback position for Penn State. But to underscore your point, what Saquon just did in the pros this year is irrevocably going to impact the way people look back on his college career as well. And, you know, maybe that's fair and maybe it's not. For the purposes of this exercise, we told people don't think about a guy's NFL career. It wouldn't make any difference for Saquon. But just in terms of how we think about a college player's career, I do think it's unavoidable for what they do in the pros to impact the way people think about their career overall, including what they did in college. You know, we've seen that with like Adrian Peterson and Barry Sanders before Saquon. I do think what he did as an Eagle just this year is going to give him more pull in the conversation going down the road of who's the best running back in Penn State history.
And I think, Chris, at least for me, it wasn't like, oh, now I'm going to think more highly of Saquon Barkley because of how well he performed this past season with the Eagles. I look at it more as it's just affirmation of what I already thought. It was, my God, this guy's been so good with some trying circumstances. Imagine if the circumstances around him were different. And we saw it. I mean, could you imagine him with this current Penn State offensive line? I think, go ahead.
He would get the Heisman ceremony invite that he deserved at the very least. That is one of my great sources of frustration and always will be as a Penn State football fan. At minimum, Saquon Barkley deserved to be among the guys invited to attend the Heisman ceremony. That is a way in this sport that we recognize the best individual performances in any given season and performers. And Saquon Barkley deserved to be in that group. And because we just didn't have the blocking for him, because teams down the stretch were able to focus in on stopping Saquon Barkley. It's kind of like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. It's like, Rutgers is going to shut down Saquon Barkley. And yeah, Trace McSorley may pass for like 400 yards and they'll lose by 5 touchdowns, but at least Saquon Barkley didn't run all over us. And that just statistically ended up costing him his Heisman ceremony invite. And that's always going to bother me a little bit.
I thought when you started the statement, when I had the conjecture of what would it be like if Saquon Barkley played behind this offensive line, I thought you were going to say he would get his Heisman Trophy ceremony invite before the season even started. All right.
Well, that would be fine. He'd probably join LJ as a 2,000-yard back.
Yes. And speaking of LJ, Larry Johnson was my number two because, Chris, that was 2002 season was mind-blowing. You had to be there to appreciate it. You know when you see like a high school team that has like a college star caliber player playing against high school kids who don't have a prayer, okay? That's what it looked like with Larry Johnson playing against collegiate competition. He just looked like a man among boys.
And going back to Zach Mills, what a lot of folks have forgotten is that the storyline early in the 2002 season, you remember Penn State's coming off 2 5-win seasons, which were very rare for the Nittany Lions at that time, was that Jopa had opened up the offense. You know, we had Bryant Johnson and Tony Johnson on that team. Zach Mills was a sophomore and healthy, completely healthy, pretty good offensive line. Penn State was throwing the ball way more than we normally had on offense. And then LJ just emerged as such a force of nature. You couldn't not give that dude the ball. And I think about the Indiana and Northwestern games where he just absolutely obliterated those defenses. Those are the two classic examples of the helpless high school kids trying to tackle Derrick Henry type game you're talking about.
Yes.
And then the game in which he got 2,000 yards, Michigan State just couldn't touch him. Couldn't touch him. He was great all season. But those three games, Indiana, Northwestern, which I will always remember, Jim, as one of the few Penn State home games I have missed in the last 25 years because I was half on, half off the couch nursing a hangover watching that on television. But yeah, those two games in the Michigan State game at the end of the year, one of the coldest Penn State games I've ever been to, those were special. Yeah, that season for Larry was one of the best individual performances by a college football player that I've seen.
You missed the game because you were hungover. At least you had a legitimate reason for it.
Correct.
All right. Just to fill things out, I took Nick Singleton number three.
Yeah,
and I know that kind of went against your personal policy of not voting for current players, but I think that guy is very, very special, and he's putting up these numbers, Chris, when he's sharing the load almost equally with another running back. And again, if he had to do it all on his own, no, I'm not just going to double all his numbers and say that's what it would be. But I look at him as pretty special. And then I had Tony Hunt fourth.
Love that.
But, you know, like I said, the Evan Royster, all-time rushing yardage leader. Not on my top four, Chris.
That's where I talk about as you get down deeper into who makes these, well, really second-team spots, you're making tough decisions. Because what Royster was able to accomplish as the all-time rushing leader was achieved through consistency. He started playing splitting time in the backfield with Rodney Kinlaw as a true freshman in the 07 season. And from that point forward, he was just reliable. You know, best ability is availability. He was always available. He was always making plays for Penn State. He was Big Ten champion in 2008, but not as flashy or explosive or talented as some of the other runners on this list. And again, when you're putting him up against a guy like Nick Singleton, who's sharing the backfield with another super talented back in Catron Allen and still in position to challenge Royster's all-time rushing yards record, as is Allen, again, as we talked about. It's remarkable.
All right, that is it for quarter number three. Lots more to go when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're talking about our all-century team. Chris, there's a lot of positions on the field, and so far through three segments, we've gotten through two positions, which is fine, which is fine.
I only need about seven more hours, Jim. We'll be good to go.
Well, could I ask you to at least give us one more out? Could we do the defense? Could we do that as a separate show, say, next week, Chris? Just finish the offensive side of the ball in quarter number four, and I'll bring you back another week for the defensive side.
Well, Jim, as you know, but maybe those tuning in on the radio do not, but a reminder for all of us, we'll be rolling out the obligatory Penn State quarter century team over the next 4 weeks, starting Tuesday, May 27th on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. So it would be my honor and pleasure to return and continue talking about this project and continue reminding folks that they should buy their tickets for the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest at HoppyValleyBrewersFest.com, coming back to Penn State on July 19th. With over 75 craft breweries, many of them from right here in Pennsylvania. You'll see me and Kevin Horn and Mike the Mailman there. So come back and visit us in Happy Valley this summer.
Okay, that's HoppyValleyBrewersFest.com. Boom. Chris, you know what? Text me that link. I'll put it out on our website and this podcast. So we got through, as I mentioned, the quarterback and running back position. Just to wrap up, I had Trace McSorley and Darrell Clark as my two quarterbacks. We were allowed four running backs. I had Saquon Barkley, Larry Johnson, Nick Singleton, and Tony Hunt, which means I left off McCoo, Kinlaw, Royster, Miles Sanders, Journey Brown. I know we're supposed to move on to the other positions, but I just want to make a quick mention of Journey Brown.
Yeah.
He was everything that was right about this team. He didn't get a lot of offers coming in. James Franklin and his crew saw something in him. He was just getting set to become something really, really special when he had to medically retire. Really unfortunate. Or Chris, we might be talking about Journey Brown as part of these the top running backs.
I think that's a very fair point. That 2020 team, which just had an abysmal year and all the weird COVID stuff, if they have Journey Brown on offense and Micah Parsons on defense, it's a completely different story.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. All right. Let's hit another position. Let's go to wide receiver. Oof. And it's funny, Chris, and I know this is recency bias. People, oh, my God, wide receiver. James Franklin never has any good wide receivers. Penn State never does. Well, let's go through the list here a little bit from your cheat sheet. Bryant Johnson, Tony Johnson, Derek Williams, Deion Butler, Jordan Norwood, Derek Moy, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Deshaun Hamilton, KJ Hamler, Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. That's a heck of a list. And Chris, before we go into where my votes went, I love being reminded, and in your cheat sheet, you have the player's name and then the years of his career. So it's Derek Williams, 2005 through 2008. Mm-hmm. Next on the list, Deion Butler, 2005 through 2008. Jordan Norwood, 2005 through 2008. I had forgotten just how good those three guys were together. Yeah. Just incredible group.
Yeah, I've been saying as I go around doing like various appearances and guest spots on shows this summer that if Penn State fans are looking for some inspiration from our past, that you can overhaul the entire wide receiving core in a single offseason, they can look back to the Big Ten championship team that's celebrating its 20th anniversary this season in 2005, because that's exactly what they did. None of those guys were, for all intents and purposes, part of the program. Now, Jordan Norwood and Derek Williams were true freshmen. Deion Butler was a redshirt freshman. He's a walk-on at DB earlier in his career, but he didn't play until the 05 season, and then that group stayed together for 4 years. Really, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, Jim, if the voters just wanted to make them 1 through 3 the top receivers on this team, I'd be okay with it, but that didn't happen. Now, I'm not saying some of them didn't make it. I'm saying that they didn't go 1 through 3 not all of them made it. That's what I'll tell you for sure.
And I
because there's so many other good contenders.
I'm singing their praises, Chris, and I didn't have even one of them on my top 4 list.
There you go. Who did you vote for?
I had Allen Robinson, number one. Just special. Bryant Johnson, who's another guy I think gets forgotten.
Indeed.
Chris Godwin and Jahan Dotson. And you know what? Who am I going to take off to put on, you know, Derek Williams? I wish there was like a, you know, a special teams position, a returner, maybe would put in Derek Williams for that at the top.
Well, this is exactly what I was talking about when I said that wide receiver is actually a very difficult position when you're only picking 4, 2 starters, 2 reserves, a first and second team. And a reminder for everybody who's listening, we're actually going to start our shows with defense. So, Jim, this is good. You and I are plugging this thing, the obligatory Penn State quarter century team premiering this week on the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. Horn and I are going to be talking second team defense. You and I are talking about offense. And yeah, are you going to disregard what Bryant Johnson did in his career good enough to make him a first round pick in the NFL draft? Deshaun Hamilton is another guy who, if you look at his body of work, going all the way back to becoming the receptions leader on the team his freshman year because he's pressed into service, that guy made a lot of clutch catches for Penn State down the line. I mean, we absolutely needed him to, like, I think about the Fiesta Bowl. He was there for Trace McSorley every single time. There are players you didn't vote for who absolutely deserve consideration. It's tough. It's tough.
It is, and that's what makes it fun. And, by the way, speaking of shameless plugs, I just want to remind you folks, For the Bloggy YouTube channel, great stuff there. Absolutely great stuff. All right, let's go to maybe one of my favorite positions. Our listeners know I love the tight end room, okay, for Penn State. And I'm just going to read off the list of names on your cheat sheet, and that's all I need to do to let people know. Listen to this. Tony Stewart, John Gilmore, Andrew Corliss, again, guy that's forgotten,
yep.
Jesse James, Mike Gesicki, Pat Freiermuth, Brenton Strange, Theo Johnson. And oh, by the way, this past year, there was a pretty good tight end by the name of Tyler Warren. I don't know if you took note of him at all, Chris, this past season, but he was pretty good, by the way.
He was a notable Nittany Lion this past year, no doubt. Yeah, and how about this, Jim? You read through that list, and yeah, you mentioned a couple of guys there in Tony Stewart, John Gilmore, and Andrew Corliss, all of whom had very nice NFL careers. Probably don't get thought of as much. Penn State did not use the tight end position while Joe was here in the same way that we have more recently. And really in college football has come to start featuring the tight end spot a lot differently. But from Jesse James on, and a name you didn't even mention, Kyle Carter, another NFL tight end, Penn State has just had one great player at that spot after another.
It's crazy, the talent that was there. And by the way, I left off one of my, on my voting list, I left off Pat Freiermuth, who was, I had Mike Gesicki second after Tyler Warren. And Pat Freiermuth, just a quick little story I had, and it was during the COVID period where some of the families of players were kind of lobbying for a season to happen. I spoke to Pat Freiermuth's mother, on the show. And besides the whole COVID controversy and that stuff going on, we talked a little bit about Pat Freiermuth. And one of my favorite stories, she talked about Pat Freiermuth talking about the different things he did. And there was a play, I don't know if it was like in the bowl game, where he just ran the guy over. And it was like one of Pat's favorite plays. And I just think that tells you about tight ends, when their favorite thing is running someone over versus making a catch or a touchdown.
Yeah, Pat, I think, is probably one of the more complete tight ends on that list. Maybe the most. Certainly, it's tough to give anyone those flowers over Tyler Warren. It's interesting. You said you had him first team on your ballot. Full disclosure, so did I. And, you know, I think when you're putting together a team like this, part of it is you want to combat recency bias, but you also, you know, you're looking for voters who see the complete spectrum of the entire 25 years. I think some people, older folks in particular, probably all of us, if we can remember all of these players, we tend to not want to reward some of the newer guys, some of the more recent guys, and we struggle to put them in perspective. And so I think it really speaks to the season that Tyler Warren had, that I can reveal many voters viewed it as you and I both did, that that's a guy who probably belongs in the conversation for best to ever do it. So certainly needs to be right up there in contention for the top spot on best player of the last 25 years at the tight end spot.
You're exactly right. And I think some of us older guys, the pendulum goes the other way, as opposed to the recency bias. I remember a show a couple months ago when I talked about Saquon Barkley perhaps being the best running back at Penn State ever. You kind of reprimanded me on that thought. And it wasn't me forgetting the players in the history. I mean, I grew up thinking Lydell Mitchell and Franco Harris were as good as you could get as far as Penn State running backs. So nobody could surpass them. But, you know, to be very honest with you, if you watch Saquon Barkley, he just does too many special things. And Tyler Warren is the same thing, just does too many special things.
Yeah, it's not recency bias when you've just had an unbelievable player in the last few years. And that was the case with both of those guys.
Exactly the case. All right, we have 30 seconds left. We'll do the offensive line along with the defense next week. Is that okay, Chris?
That sounds great.
Because I do want to have a real conversation with it. Last note, tell everyone where they could listen to the All Century Team shows.
Get it at the For the Bloggy YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, what are you doing?
If you're a Penn State fan, you absolutely have to. Some of the absolute greatest stuff on Penn State football at For the Bloggy YouTube channel. Thank you, Chris. That's it for our show. Make sure you all join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.